hear that.
Made up movies, made up movies. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Made up movies, made up movies. Made up movies.
Movies in your face now. Come and get an earful.
Made up movies.
Made up movies.
Hello and welcome to Made Up Movies. I'm Mike Kolar. With me as always is the dog, the bounty hunter to my Beth Chapman, Matt Shore.
Wait, you get to be the big booby lady? I want to be big booby lady.
Yeah, I'm his wife. I didn't know if you wanted to be his wife or not, and I had to look up her last name. It's weird that she has a different last name. It's not Beth the bounty hunter.
Wait, you're telling me Dog has a different last name and not?
I think Dog's last name is just Chapman, which isn't as scary.
It's not that cool. But no. I mean, if you're the wife, then I get to make sweet love to you. Is that?
I was just thinking of, we were talking about dogs earlier, so I just thought of dogs, just where my mind
like
went,
Dags,
wasn't necessarily.
Do you like Dags? Dags.
Do you like Dags? Dags. Dags. Dog the bounty hunter.
What are you afraid of, Tommy? The Germans.
Dog
Hello.
The bounty hunter.
Welcome to Snatchcast, where we talk about the movie Snatch. Every week we watch Snatch, and we love...
I wish.
Somehow saying Snatch over and over has made this the filthiest episode yet, even filthier than last week. And it's literally the name of a major studio film.
So anyway, we here at Made Up Movies, we review movies you might not have heard of, suggested by listeners like yourself. Is that fun?
Yeah, and you can submit your own made-up movie ideas to us. Go to @MadeUpMoviesPod on Twitter. That's @MadeUpMoviesPod. And you can submit the title of the movie and a one-sentence summary about what it's about. We will put on our trans-dimensional goggles and go into the other dimension and watch that movie. And we will review it. Even though you came up with it, we will use our trans-dimensional powers to watch that movie like it is real in our dimension. Isn't that cool?
Yeah. Isn't
it's
that
amazing.
Cool? It's science. It's science.
Oh, speaking of prestidigitating stuff out of thin air, did you hear the latest Joker news? We just talked about Joker.
Last week we got a little carried away with Joker news, but go on, tell me.
Well, yeah, we got hopped up on death sticks. We poured some death sticks into our goggles. I'm not sure how that worked, but it might explain why our eyes are super bloodshot this week and twitching convulsively.
You know that baby on the ceiling from Trainspotting?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he is everywhere. I cannot. He's in every peripheral vision. I cannot stop seeing. There he is again.
I have taped some baby dolls up around the room. Just
why would
to fuck
you do that?
You
knew we were withdrawing from death sticks.
I know. I thought it would really fuck with your head. And
it is. It's ruining my life. If I'm being honest,
that one giggles on command. Let's see if I can get it. Come here. Motion sensor.
God, why is
it a little trick I picked up from my friends, the Bunker Brothers. Bunker Brothers.
I literally haven't slept
podcast.
Because of these baby dolls.
You're not supposed to sleep. You're supposed to stay up. That's what gets the withdrawal really hopping. You know.
I don't. I believe it was just cocaine because I don't.
That's space cocaine. It's made of spice. That's what I learned from Boba Fett. I just finished watching that. They're made of spice, I assume.
Spice sticks.
Is it weird that in Star Wars and in Dune it's spice?
What is that about? Is that because I was like, did they just take this from Dune? Like, we don't care, or is it the same universe?
Dune is the book from the 60s, right? And that means it might have.
Dune is older than Star Wars by a lot, yes. But,
so Star Wars would have had to have ripped it off from Dune.
And also they find it in the desert, which is exactly the same as Dune.
That's true. That's very true.
Just shamelessly stealing.
And there's
some.
A lot of creatures in Book of Boba Fett and in Mando, really. They spend, of course, an inordinate amount of time on Tatooine. They've got the whole fucking galaxy to explore, endless Star Wars budget. And they're like, the desert's fine by me.
Tatooine's the only planet.
Let's summer on Jakku. Completely different. So there's a lot of like sandworm, crate dragon type creatures in these as well. So there's a lot of crossover. And you know what? I'd like to say I mind it, but I don't. I really like that Dune movie. I like the Dune audiobook.
Yeah.
Have you heard that Dune audiobook where it's like each character is a different actor? It's incredible.
No. I've never listened or read Dune. I've just seen the one movie.
I've seen the David Lynch version.
Oh yeah, I saw the old one too. Yeah,
that one's kind of weird.
Kind of weird. Very weird.
Kind of hard to get through. The new one I really liked. It really made me a Timothy Oliphant stan.
Timothy Oliphant fan. He's in. That's Mando. You're thinking of Mandalorian.
Oh no! Wait, which Timothy? Or is it Timothée?
It's Timothée Chalamet. Timothée Chalamet.
Timothée Chamomile is fantastic. Whereas
yeah, he's a good actor.
Look, Master Frodo, it's a Timothy Oliphant. I don't know. I'm a fan of both those scruffy looking nerf herders, you know? Lady Jessica's, MMA fighter Gina Carano's. I like them all. I like them
so
all.
So much crossover this week. When will it stop?
I don't know. Well, speaking of crossover, we've been crossing over between the dimensions, using our powers to get news, because last week we pitched a bunch of ideas for what we think the Joker 2 movie should be, the Joker sequel, because We here are huge fans of Joker, and we would like to be paid by Todd Phillips and Warner Brothers to help make this Joker franchise. We've got the power. So remember, if you want to help us, do hashtag release the mum cut. That hashtag is going strong. There's at least 50 tweets sent by me alone saying release the mum cut.
That's 50 tweets that's going to be trending anytime, any second.
It could be trending now. It could be trending 6 years from now when you are listening to this pod. It could be trending well after Joker 3 is out, for all we know. But who cares? Keep hitting that hashtag at us. Say at Made Up Movies. Hashtag release the mum cut. Then pitch us a made up movie while you're at it. Just get going on Twitter just to bother me. I live for it. Please don't tell me your political ideas and affiliations. It just makes me sad for the state of humanity and mute you immediately.
I have a lot of thoughts about how JFK is coming back, by the way.
I love your political thoughts. They're great and anarchical.
Thank
you. Is this your JFK ideas? We already heard a bunch of these because we watched Gore the Destroyer.
He wasn't actually assassinated, is the thing.
I know, the purple guy with the beard and stuff who looked kind of like me from Gore the villain. He killed JFK or something. We know.
No. He was in JFK Jr.'s plane and they flew away to hide to the I'm not actually sure what they think.
This is my theory, okay? Mm-hmm. You know Harrison Ford gets in all these aerolite accidents and somehow walks away. Who do you think was flying the plane that killed JFK? Han Solo. And what were they smuggling across the border? Spice.
Death sticks. Oh, yeah, spice. That's how you make the death sticks.
See, a death stick is just a pre-roll of spice, basically.
Oh, that makes sense.
Make sense that I think of death sticks? I guess if they were made of spice, this would make sense. But if you don't know what death sticks are, go back to the previous episode. The death sticks are...
You're not going to tell them? You're just going to tell them to listen?
It's going to be like one of those Stan Lee comic book panels. For more about the Punisher, check out episode Spider-Man, Spectacular Spider-Man 364.
I don't own that one. I don't own it.
I always hated that as a kid, too, because you're like, I don't even know where to get that. Where are these back issues available? Do I have to go to
just
a fucking
look on the internet
market?
That doesn't exist for 5 years.
Yeah, exactly. It's 1995.
Stupid.
Good luck. So, there's no wiki for this shit where I can just read what happened.
Yeah.
A wiki that destroyed the comic books industry. Because if you actually get a hold of that episode, you realize the reason they're selling it is it's not very good. It contains one panel that gives you the information you need and like 16 panels of Punisher just gunning down maybe people who don't deserve it based on our modern lens.
That's what the Punisher does, baby. He punishes the guilty and unguilty alike.
The guilty as determined by socioeconomic classes.
Yep. That's how he does it.
So basically, we learned last week that the Death Stick Stealer from Attack of the Clones, Star Wars, is real. He came on the show, gave us a little bit of a taste of his hot medicine.
Hopelessly addicted very fast, very fast.
Yeah, that stuff is powerful. I'm sort of itchy. I'm sort of sweaty. I've got like not like normal like blemishes. I have sort of like what I'm calling spice holes in my arm.
Yeah, they're a little purple. They're a little scaly. I have those too. I was worried that it was just.
And occasionally a sandworm will come out of my arm. It'll emerge and it'll just go, feed me.
Yeah, I'm like, that might be hallucinations because I have not seen that. I've seen the little babies on the wall, but not.
You know what? That might be an unrelated thing because I got a burrito from the alternate dimension, same place that Fry got that egg sandwich that put the worms inside of him. And I don't know about this. I think it's going to start like a little shop of horrors inside my bowel. So I need to. Maybe go to a doctor in the alternate dimension, but you know, maybe our goggles have some sort of healing setting that I just haven't rewired.
I think if anything, they're making us much more sick, if I'm being quite honest.
Hey, what makes you killed makes you stronger. Like I always say,
something like that makes me think maybe you have brain damage. Cause that sentence doesn't really make sense.
Hey, when it comes to brain damage, so.
What? You just trailed off.
All right. So what we've been getting to this whole time is last week was Joker, but just as we finished recording, we found out some new information, which is that Lady Gugu herself has been casted as the Harley Quinn in the movie. So Harley Quinn, sorry, Florence Pugh Pew, you ain't in this films. It's Lady Gugu for sure.
Lady Gugu, not Margot Ruby.
Not Margot Robot. My brain damage is really hurting right now.
It seems like it's spreading at a rapid pace.
It's Gaga barn this way. Got it. that could be a really good Nickelodeon cow movie. You remember how they did those cow movies? That
barn this way?
Barn this
way.
Yeah,
I hated all of those movies, if I'm being quite honest.
Home on the Range, that is a Disney misfire from the Eisner era. We could do that. It could be our treasure planet.
There's a lot of terrible animated barn movies that I don't like. So,
Chicken Run, you like that one? Mel Gibson.
No, I don't think I've seen any of those. If I'm being,
we gotta watch Mel Gibson movies. You gotta get your values from somewhere. So anyway, apparently this Joker movie is going to be a musical.
And I don't know if we suggested that or not, because we had so many ideas so fast that I don't know.
We did, because if so, I would have pitched you my original song that I'm working on about the Joker. I thought we could, maybe I've got just a little bit of a death stick residue on one of my goggle lenses. I thought we could both
Can I have that residue? Because
both take a lick of one of each of the lenses.
Nice. Cause I was thinking of like punching you and taking it myself. So wow. The fact that you're sharing it is, sorry, I'm just withdrawing so hard.
Yeah. It's like you're shaking a lot more than usual.
Can you just hand it to me so I can lick it is the thing?
I'm a little bit worried that you're just going to lick both lenses.
No, I don't.
I'm going to take a lick of mine real fast.
Okay. We'll just hurry up.
That's good. Maybe I'll have the other one. I feel like you don't need.
Give it to me.
Ow! Okay. Wow.
Sorry.
It's you said you were going to share and then you never speed. Okay. That's pretty crazy. Ouch.
That's good.
You ripped a hangnail off doing that.
That's good.
Oh wow, you're just going to town on that. You're licking the inside of the. Okay, that's from my scalp. Most of that
is sweat.
Have
you washed this thing? Because it is not.
I don't think you're supposed to wash electronics or yourself. I don't do either.
You can use isopropyl alcohol, silly.
Got that word at. So you're doing better than I am with the brain damage. Because that's. I'm not even going to try to repeat.
I think pretty much got all the stuff on it. So let's. So your song that we were gonna.
Oh, yeah, okay, all right. I've got that music industry juice flowing inside my brain now. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. It's no laughing matter. Uh-huh. Joker's got a bladder. Spraying his piss all over the world. Spraying his piss all over the world. Piss, piss, piss. Piss in my mouth. Pee, pee, pee inside of you. I go pee inside your butt. I'm
this
the
is,
Joker,
this is
baby.
The, this is for the Joker movie about the Joker.
Well, yeah, the Joker's got kind of an anarchic spirit, so... Piss, piss, piss in my mouth. Pee, pee, pee everywhere.
That's sort of like a juvenile anarchy thing. He sort of like burns down houses and murders his neighbor. He doesn't like pee everywhere.
Well, it's debatable whether he murders her or not. Remember, she comes back as Catwoman in our
version. Oh, right. She comes back in Catwoman in the new one that we wrote.
That's right. And she kills Zorro. No, is that someone else? It's important. I just need more spice. I just need more spice to even this out, and I'll be fine. But yeah,
the point is. That is a pretty good song. So, I know. Good job.
And that's just one of the seven that I've been working on. Here's another one.
All right. I don't know if we have time.
We got plenty of time. So here's one that's about Harley Quinn.
Okay.
And it's called Crazy in Love with You. Okay.
Okay.
Because I'm crazy, crazy in love.
Oh, it's a slower song.
Yeah. When you piss in my mouth.
It seems like.
You piss in my butt, too.
It seems like you're just describing. It's sort of a similar subject matter of the first song.
Well, you got to keep that in. See, in musicals, I'm sorry. I know you've written a musical, but I might be mansplaining this to you a little bit. But
A little bit.
But in musicals, there's something called an overture that carries throughout.
Yeah, a reprise. But again, if the only thing he does is piss in this movie,
I don't know where you're getting that from. It's not the only thing he does. If anything,
he did so much in our version, and then your version, he just seems to pee on everybody. And they seem to welcome it, which is kind of insane.
I feel like you're focusing on one element of this.
What's the third song? Let's hear another.
A big show-stopping number where Joker and Batman finally kiss, right?
That makes sense, yeah. Batman is still a teenager at this point, right? Because he's not...
Oh, right. Fuck, I didn't think about that. So Joker and some other guy he just met randomly kiss. Zorro or something, I don't know.
Somebody, right, yeah.
But you know what rhymes with kiss, right?
So I have a guess.
Kiss me, Batman. Stranger, I just met. And when you're done kissing me, here's something you should do.
Oh boy.
You should unzip your pants.
Okay. I feel and like I know
pull
what's
out your penis.
Okay.
And then begin to marry me.
Oh, okay.
And see, that's how you subvert.
That's kind of sweet. That's kind of sweet.
And you turn it into something romantic, and then they just reprise. And a piss, 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 and a piss, piss, piss. I'm pissing left and right. And a piss, 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 and a piss, piss, piss. I'm pissing them on out of sight, baby. Right. Out of sight. Okay. Piss and piss, piss.
So was he gonna put the ring on his penis? Is that, I don't understand. That's what I'm a little confused.
No, it's a metaphor.
Oh, okay. All right, well, I think it's good. I don't know if it's better than what we already wrote, though. I guess musical.
It is better than everything we wrote. And the thing is, I submitted that version with the songs.
Dude.
And deleting all the stuff that you said directly to Todd Phillips on Twitter. So I hope you don't mind. I took your name off it, but I just consider myself the true Joker fan. So,
I mean, you're not wrong. I didn't like it until I did all that cocaine. I mean, Destix. So it's
I'm starting to like it less as the cocaine we just did. I mean, spice is wearing off. So,
I'm angry again.
Fight should to the death.
Should we just watch this week's movie and get it over with?
Hey, you're right. Maybe we should do that. This week's movie, do you want to say it? It's kind of out there.
You can say it.
All right. This movie comes from Totally Rad Christmas. I believe that's their name. Totally Rad Christmas. I think that's either a podcast or just an event.
Oh, they love Christmas.
Love Christmas. Out of season, but here we go. So this sort of seems like a wonderful Christmas fantasy, but it's called Colonel Cupcake and the Colossal End of All Things. And the premise is an illicit affair between Colonel Cupcake and the Sugar Plum Fairy threatens to destroy all life on the planet Zaraxis. So,
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, seems like it's going to be a fun, lighthearted kids animated movie or something. And hopefully,
it sounds like a Cloudy with the Meatballs sort of thing.
Yeah,
Cloudy
my meatballs, meatballs are getting a little cloudy with all this withdrawal happening right here. So, maybe we can get some of that residual good through these helmets. So let's just put
Let's just put them on in here and
flick. Whoa, okay. All right. So that was not okay. So we just watched the movie through the power of our transdimensional goggles. Colonel Cupcake and the Colossal End of All Things. That was not what I expected. That was crazy violent.
It was sort of like it was sort of like anime level violence, which yeah. was...
Yeah, but there was a lot of... what was crazy is that there was a lot of guts, but they were all made of, like, frosting and stuff like that. Right. But I still saw intestines. They were just, like, made of red vines and stuff. But they were, like...
What was this rated?
Based on what I could tell from this thing, it was unrated or something. Because it seemed like there were no limits. And I also thought, for sure... that a larger portion, like, granted, this did have animated characters in it, but it was like a hybrid in that Roger Rabbit, like Chip and Dale kind of way, where it was like some characters were full live action. Like, Colonel Cupcake was just a guy, and he was
That was so weird.
He was like a hairy, bearded, like, gruff man with an eye patch. And, like, I don't know why it said Colonel, because he was dressed like a fucking pirate, but he's wearing a giant cupcake costume. Like, he might be dancing at Disneyland.
I think it was supposed to be, like, Colonel Mustard, because he had the monocle, like, the one monocle. Oh!
Is that why he was wearing that, like, Kaiser Wilhelm helmet? I didn't get that either. I don't know.
Because he had a scimitar, and he had a fucking...
Yeah, he had a scimitar! What was that? Was he supposed to be death? I don't understand the politics of this movie. Okay, so the craziest shit that happens in this movie. I mean, it starts out like, you think it's going to be a love movie, right? There's a big romance between Colonel Cupcake. And by the way, a lot of explicit, not subtle sex scenes between Colonel Cupcake and the Sugar Plum Fairy. It was like
rated X Roger Rabbit, kind of.
Yeah, Fritz the Cat.
Fritz the Cat's all animated. This was like the weird sort of.
This was like if it was only Jessica Rabbit boob scenes.
If Fred Astaire danced with a mouse and then fucked the mouse, basically.
There's the scene where the Sugar Plum Fairy. I mean, this is kind of right up my alley because it combines food and sex, but where she takes off her top, which is like this glittering sugar plum top, and reveals that she has Hershey's Kiss nipples. I was like, okay, I shouldn't be aroused right now because this is happening at like 90 miles per hour, beamed directly into my retinas. But I can tell I'm getting a nosebleed for two reasons, anime style, at this point.
What is that?
I'm just saying.
No, I get it. It's fine.
I'm just saying. But
your nose bleeds? I don't want to get into it.
My nose bleeds when I get, amorous, Ribble-de-Pibbets style. Because of course everything is just oozing out of Ribaldi at all things. It's not necessarily blood. It's more just like, he's just generally just very wet.
So based on the description of destroying all life on the planet, Zor, it sounds like somebody is threatening them, but they're actually the people who are destroying all life of the Zoraxes. Like Colonel Cupcake and the Sugar Plum Fairy are trying to sort of, genocide these, like, I guess, cupcake people? The candy people? I don't know what they are.
Well, it's like they all have, they're part of, I thought it was like a star-crossed lovers thing, right? Because they have like their own warring factions or whatever, and their union is supposed to like bring people together, but there is that element where it's like their union is being brought together because they're going to genocide this third party.
They're combining their hatred,
who apparently are like cupcake animals or something like that are like
it reminds me of like, it's like an Avatar situation where it's like like very peaceful, but they have land.
right. And they're just like these little wholesome, like, chocolate bunnies and stuff. And they're like about to be like, I guess what the movie wants is for them to be together, Cupcake and Sugar Plum, so that they can have happy genocide together.
We mentioned Dog the Bounty Hunter and Beth, and they're sort of like, the Sugar Plum is a very small person, and Colonel Cupcake is huge.
That's the other thing. And she can sort of like, for Hook and Tinkerbell, she can sort of like use her magic to momentarily change size for scenes where they are intimate. But it's like,
where it's like, oh, hey, Peter, I didn't realize I was Julia Roberts.
I didn't realize Steven Spielberg must have called in some pretty big favors to get me in.
Maybe if I just grow up and we kiss a little.
And Robin Williams is like, ew, gross. I want to hang out with Rufio.
I want to hang out with kids. I'm a boy too.
Wow, this movie was going to be way different when Michael Jackson was starring.
Oh, boy. Oh, jeez.
I met Rufio at a voice acting event in L.A. That's why I miss LA cool? so much. Yeah, he's Jake Long, American Dragon. I think he's pretty cool.
I was just making sure it was him. Just making sure it was cool. It would be sad if he wasn't.
Then I met, what's his name? The guy who plays Raiden in Metal Gear. That was awesome.
Is he unrelated. Also
cool? Unrelated. Oh yeah, he's super cool.
I mean, these guys are cool.
Oh, everyone you've ever wanted to meet is cool. Okay, man.
Okay, good.
Except Andy Dick, he is not cool. Stay away from
I'm
him.
Pretty sure I knew that he was not cool.
So there's like these, there's this big. It's sort of, you know, the love story between them. And how, like, star-crossed it was and, like, weird and, like, of its own thing. It kind of reminded me of the romance between Anakin and Padme in Attack of the Clones. Yes. Where it takes place over, like, many kind of boring scenes. Yeah. In, like, lots of, like, exotic, beautiful candy locations.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, this is nice. And then you're like, wait a minute. Aren't these people getting together to murder an entire, like... race, or I guess, yeah, of indigenous people, is that what they're trying to do? That's like,
well that's so it's the like, thing it's not like as there, nice. there is like a freedom fighters element of it, because within the Sugar Plum Fairies there's like a gang of rebel fairies who are all like bright green and who are like, I guess, represent like healthy fairy food and like non-candy related food. I think it's supposed to be a metaphor for eating healthy.
Yeah, I can
see
that.
They call themselves the Kale Collective, so I thought that's what they meant. It's not they don't hit it too hard, and it's kind of lost in this fucking like very extensive and incredibly
obtuse
lore. If
you eat sweets, your entire peoples will be destroyed, basically.
I guess. Well, and it's also like the. Maybe it's like a metaphor for the cocoa bean or something like that.
Maybe. Or like the Banana Republic. Because the Zoraxes are the people that they're destroying. Or like you said, they're like chocolate bunnies. They're like...
Oh, right. Yeah. On planet Zoraxes, where a lot of this takes place, or a lot of the final battle really takes place over the planet Zoraxes, is where the chocolate bunnies and like woodland creatures who like, but I want to be clear, they are adorable candy woodland creatures. There's birds made of Skittles and gumdrops and all this stuff. They're animals that are, they're like Transformers that mix animals. I'm comparing too many things, but they are animals who are made
of candy. You're describing it correctly, because they're animals made of candy in disguise.
Yeah. And they're more than meets the eye. Because they eventually go through a training sequence at some point in the movie where they have to like get ready for this battle. It's like, this is our land, you know, Avatar style. But they are naturally
the Kale Collective and then like one of Colonel Cupcake's brothers is like trying to help them escape.
Oh yeah. Or Francis Cupcake. That was crazy. And he's like a weirdly painted, like a vanilla white savior cupcake. I was like, what the fuck is this metaphor that's happening?
It was, you know, it was also like, what was that movie that Seth Rogen made?
Amazing. What?
Where it was like the dirty food movie. Because it wasn't
Sausage Party. Yeah, we saw that together.
But it wasn't funny. You know what I mean? There was like.
Right, just like Sausage Party.
Take that, James Franco. You'll think twice next time you teach my class.
Wow. If he could teach a class, he could teach a class. I mean, I could teach a class. That reminds me. I'm the boss Nass of teaching that class.
Oh, boy. Oh, jeez. I thought we were going to get through an episode without a boss Nass reference. And there you go again.
You remember that, right? I'm the boss Nass of that ass.
Yeah.
Remember to tell your significant other that tonight as you gently caress them to sleep.
I'm the boss Nass.
Gently caress them
and
to
say
sleep.
Like that. Say it very quietly.
I'm the boss Nass of that ass. Say it in a Batman voice and then go.
we're saving relationships. You, cops, that's what we do on this show now, is save relationships.
We saved relationships, but they couldn't save my parents.
Your parents are at fault. They're terrible billionaires. I'm sorry.
They weren't terrible billionaires. That's a retcon. I don't believe in the Court of Owls mythology.
All right, fine. I'm just saying they were the only good billionaires. There's no way. There's no way.
Is that true. Batman in here? It's me, the Mark Hamill Joker.
Joker, I don't care for you very much. I hope we don't trip on each other and kiss.
Oh, I hope we don't kiss either. We know what rhymes with kiss, don't you? A piss, piss, piss. And then you start pissing. You can see how this would work.
I can see it in my mind, and it's very vivid, so it's not bad. It's not bad.
I'm sorry. I got us off track there for a second.
Yeah, I helped, because I'm Batman.
See, that's pretty good, right?
It's a good
Batman. And I'm Calendar Bane.
It's not that hard to do Batman. It's just, you just do this.
Actually, that's Nathan Explosion from Metalocalypse.
Well, either way, I thought you were a lot more charismatic when you did that voice. So if you could do that voice for me now.
We have a little theory there. Fuck yeah.
Actually, when you are Batman, it does something crazy to my head, you know, because I am the Joker deep down.
Are you thinking about pissing on me? Is that what you're thinking about?
No, I'm just feeling like going crazy and burning a lot of money.
Oh, it makes you mad. It makes you mad physically.
It just kind of, you know, they say never go full Joker. It kind of makes me feel like I'm about to go full Joker and just start.
Well, if you could not, for my sake, it'd be
okay,
great.
I'll wait until a little bit later.
Yeah, wait till maybe. Yeah, thanks.
So... yeah, there's a lot going on in this movie, but there are some songs in this movie too. They aren't as good as my pissing songs, but
no, they weren't about piss. Luckily,
yeah, I mean, it was like, they're so close to a good piss song here because there's all these chocolate rivers, and I'm like, you know, someone could pee freely
in
one of these things, but they don't do that. Their songs, that's the weird thing, is that the songs are weirdly wholesome, but then the violence is ultra violent. And then the sex is like ultra raw, and like and Colonel Cupcake is like, I'm about to do some frosting of my own.
It's like somebody was making a Disney movie and then they got fired midway through, and they're just like, I'm gonna show that mouse.
Right, it really is mouse. Like those like old 30s guys who are like, I got fired for being too dirty, so I made my own.
I hit a penis everywhere in every scene, but I didn't hide it. I just put it in there.
But again, it's weird because, like, again, Colonel Cupcake, you have to picture this in your head. There's a lot of, like, CG characters. Like, Sugar Plum Fairy is completely CG, except when she becomes, like, human, and then she's played by an actual woman. And I think she's actually played by Batman alum Marion Cotillard, who's famous for her amazing death performance in The Dark Knight Rises. And if you haven't seen this... I would look up right now Marion Cotillard or Cotillard. I don't know how French it is.
I'm trying to IMDb it, and you're all over. I can't get it. I don't know how you spell it.
It's like Cotillard. I want to say she plays.
All I get is Ann Coulter, which is not what I want.
Yeah, just imagine Ann Coulter naked. Okay,
no,
and now
stop.
This will help you lose weight. Just start puking up now. And
speaking of somebody I like to piss on, jeez Louise.
Wow, don't give
non-sexually, such a... non-sexually, like hate piss.
Is there really a non-sexual way to go, number one, though? I think that's part of what my Joker musical is about. It's about demystifying the intimate nature of a good...
It's sort of opening up a whole new world to me over here that I did not know about you, little piss boy.
Speaking of a whole new world... there is a song of wanting in this. Although, I guess A Whole New World is more of a song of romance, but it's also sort of a song of wanting as both characters become free in Aladdin. But
it was like their love story was kind of nice. It was just like
it was up
always
until,
be
like,
undercut
really...
by like the gross sex.
Well, the thing is, the sex was, I'm not going to say the sex wasn't hot, but it was so sudden and so not wholesome. that it was like I had to like reconfigure my brain a little bit. It's like when you're watching what seems like a nice anime and then it gets like crazy violent, like it was like that fucking show the one on Amazon Prime, Invincible. It was like,
oh, right. Yeah,
it was like, okay, I think I get what this show is about. It's like a throwback to Saturday morning. And oh, nope, it's not.
Oh,
it's
no,
not
he's
anymore.
Killing everybody. Oh, yeah, geez. Right. Oh,
right.
No.
And it's super graphic to a Walking Dead extent, which makes sense, Robert Kirkman.
That is, but that might be the most violent show I've ever seen, which is pretty cool.
I mean, more violent. I guess it's not really violent, but I mean, The Boys is pretty violent too.
The Boys is very violent, but it's, I don't know. There's something about The Boys that's also, it's also very, it's almost more cartoony than Invincible. I don't know.
Because The Boys is so, like, over-the-top satire at times, although it's not really, feels like it's just the real world. When A-Train is just doing the Pepsi commercial, I was like, oh man, that's just
that was
straight
so
up
good.
What happened.
So funny. Yeah.
Like, you don't even really have to heighten it. That's what that had.
Yeah,
that was
the same commercial. So good.
And, like, Maeve's Inclusion Land and stuff like that. We're talking about Boys new stuff, so apologies if you hadn't seen it. But we're not spoiling anything plot-wise. But there's some graphic stuff in The Boys that isn't necessarily violent at first. Sometimes you're inside another person's body in a way you might not expect.
Oh, yeah. I take it back. The Boys is very violent and not cartoony at all.
But
it always makes me go, what, how the, they always surprise me. And I go, what the fuck? I can't believe they did that. And
there
I'm
are
always
no
surprised
in Bezos land. Anything goes to steal views from Netflix.
The Wheel of Time.
That's what they should just do. They should just make Marvelous Miss Maisel that violent too, for no reason. Just make it crazy.
I'd watch that.
Yeah. Me too.
Because I haven't seen Marvelous Miss Maisel.
Yeah, that would take it over the edge. Listen, you fucking cunts. I got some real jokes for you. There's fucking soups out here, and they're gonna fuck you up. And that's my.
Yeah, let's just go watch The Boys. Let's just talk about The Boys forever.
I can't do, like, he's not Scottish, is he? What is he? He's British or Irish or something.
He's
one
British.
Of them.
He sounds a little like this.
Rebelty?
Nah, not Rebelty. Nah, that was me doing an impression of Butcher.
Well, they'll be able to tell that because Rebelty has that iconic deep voice that makes him distinct.
Yeah,
but
different voice, completely.
Different voice. But anyway, back to Colonel Cupcake and the Colossal End of All Things. And yeah, I mean, the Colossal End of All Things is an element that we are underselling because, for lack of a better term, the end of all things does come as a result of this affair, and we're jumping ahead a lot, but like at a certain point, it's not really a bomb in a traditional sense. It's like part of some elaborate plot to like mine the planet's like Chaco energy or something like that.
Yeah. I think it is called Chaco energy too. I don't think it goes beyond being like as stupid as unobtainium.
Right. I forgot how stupid Unobtainium was. Good thing we only have 3 to 5 more of those movies to look forward to. And what's weird is that I've gone, like, really all the way around on Avatar. Like, I used to be, like, very, like, much everyone, like, oh, fucking Avatar, whatever.
Yeah, now and then you love it?
I kind of love it. I mean, I don't,
do you
like...
Do you speak Na'vi? Because I do.
No way. Do you?
Nah, I don't know.
That would really impress me in a sad way.
Dasuata. Is that
Whoa! You just said some crazy Bib Fortuna shit to me.
Oh yeah, wait, that's Bib Fortuna. Sorry.
Remember, all of these sci-fi languages have been stolen from one another like spice. So you have to
A crossover. Every sci-fi show is a crossover at this point.
There should be a Learn German through Film podcast for, I like the podcast Learn German Through Music that I'm doing a guest spot on soon. If it hasn't come out already, check that out. Learn German Through Music podcast. But there should be one that should be like Learn Wookiee through Film or something like that. And it's just like learn all the different Star Trek or Star Wars languages through these movies. I would love to see some of the crossover between fake languages, because there's got to be some between like Dothraki and like the stuff that Reese says and all this shit. Anyway, so they're trying to get the Chaco energy and they end up detonating a huge chunk of the planet, which creates this like I don't know, like nougat cluster bombs that like go off and destroy pretty much all of the resistance and their bases. Right. Yeah. So there's only a few.
And you're like, who are we rooting for? I thought, you know, it didn't end way.
It's like bad guys win, but it's also like Colonel Cupcake has so much screen time, but he's always portrayed as a bad guy. The only thing that makes him good, it's sort of like Anakin, where you're like, well, he's going to be bad. I don't know if I should be rooting for this guy this whole time. but it's like he's got the most screen time. He's right. on it. We like, okay, there are some scenes where we see things from Sugar Plum Fairy's perspective, and she eventually gets won over by the Hail Crusaders to a certain extent, and that's like why they start fighting, right? Because they're she's like
you're going too far, you don't need to destroy the entire planet. And he's right. like, but the most delicious chocolate's in the center, you stupid.
He needs stuff to power his army. He yeah. needs to build sort of like the Orukai. He needs to build the perfect, sort of like the Ubermensch of chocolate out of
it's
these.
It's a little Third Reich-y, if we're being honest.
he's fascistic and sort of like the bad humans in who want the unobtainium. He wants it all. He doesn't want to stop. He's like a Republican businessman who's like, well, I could stop now that I'm rich and have enough, or I could get a
but
little
do
bit
I have
more.
Enough?
Yeah, exactly. No. Is enough such a thing? Yeah. And so he's trying to get all of that, and she's like, she's so enamored with him in the beginning. I think the implication is that he's very sexy in her eyes. I guess.
Well, I mean, there's a reason he's the dictator. You know, I mean, he's very charismatic.
He's the big dictator. He's got big dictator energy.
He's got big dictator energy. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a reason dictators come to power, because they're charismatic as hell.
So, okay. Let's sort of just like walk through what happens in this plot a little bit, because we're kind of jumping around. So in the beginning, there's sort of like this envoy meeting. It's like really tense, and it's Colonel Cupcake coming from what looks to be his like desolate, like it used to be a beautiful chocolate place, but it's sort of crumbling and falling apart, melting. Right. All the chocolate geysers are just shooting out a thin stream of piss, not even a strong one like they
chocolate.
Used to. Sorry. I was thinking about the Joker a little bit.
Yeah, I could tell you were thinking about the Joker.
But they're sending, like, he's going with a delegation to the basically Sugar Plum Fairy has the sort of like in Dune, she has like the mining rights to this planet, Zaraxis, with all of the animals, the chocolate animals and stuff on it, and the chocolate animals.
And they're animals, but there's also like they're sentient animals, like they're Zaraxians.
Right. Essentially. Yeah. But for whatever reason, I think because they don't have the power of space flight yet.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the other thing. These are different planets, and so they do have like Kingdom Hearts gummy ships and stuff that are made of candy that fly between lands.
How are these flying through space?
I don't know. And why do I want to collect them all?
And they're powered by, like, the engine looks like a rainbow, which is fun.
Yes,
like,
yeah.
It's like, this is a kid's movie, right? It's powered, there's gummy candies going through space powered by rainbows.
And they go to such lengths to justify everything with different candy ingredients. It's like, oh, I'm low on sugar. Better pour more in the gas tank. It's like, wait, they want that in this universe? This is weird. Oh, my caramel.
They're
dipstick.
Made of sugar, and they use sugar as fuel. It's all sort of, it's all over the place.
The clutch is a candy cane. Like, all this shit is like, well, and again, it should be for kids with the level of Disney-esque detail it is, but there is like just minutes upon minutes of just like violent sex scenes of just like, by violent, I mean, I don't mean like abusive or it's just like rough
just
sex.
Graphic. Yeah.
Yeah. Graphic. Yeah. Graphic is a better way of putting
it. I don't
it.
Know if I can ever eat a candy cane again.
I feel like I can only eat them.
Well, see, that's where you and I differ, I guess.
I feel like it's all I've ever wanted. I just wanted as many Hershey Kisses in my mouth as possible, okay?
How many candy canes do you think you can fit inside of your mouth? That's what I was saying.
Stop quoting Colonel Cupcake.
He didn't say mouth, baby.
It just fades to black. It does a Star Wars wipe at that point. She goes, teehee.
I don't know.
So it's, okay, so it starts with this delegation, and it's like really tense. Because Colonel Cupcake is known as this like Lord of Destruction who mines everything dry, and Sugar Plum Fairy is like this benevolent or seemingly benevolent. She has this they portray her as like a real human who has like ups and downs, but she definitely puts
she's
on
a nice Halo. Billionaire like Bruce Wayne's parents.
She's like the nice version of mom in Futurama,
right?
Where she's like, she puts out a very Princess Di energy kind of thing, yeah. And is like, how could you ever hate Mother Teresa kind of thing? She's the one that she has a very like Minnie Mouse energy to her, but behind closed doors, she's more down to earth and less. She's like, she knows it's all a show, kind of.
Yeah.
But the. Because we sort of see that in the opening scene where she's like, yeah, these guys are kind of assholes. That was like my first sign that this wasn't a kid's movie.
Okay. Well, this is not. They wrote here on gummy ships, but okay. I guess it's.
Yeah, it's like, oh, okay, kids. Fine. So she's allowed to swear. That's interesting, I guess. It's a little edgy. This is, of course, before we, like, you know, I'm going to see her topless like seven scenes later.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I mean, so anyway. They have this delegation and it goes surprisingly well. Like, it's a little bit bristly, but there's some dispute over like a specific section of land, right? Like, it's like some connection to the river into some crater. And I think this is later the location where they're going to detonate this, whatever that like
on Zaraxis. Yeah.
Yeah. And on Zaraxis.
And then Colonel Cupcake does that thing where it's like, maybe it together, or maybe it's like, maybe the princess can have dinner with me alone and we can discuss it more. And it's like, okay, I know what's going to happen.
Right, right. Yeah. And she sort of does too. And she's sort of like, oh, this isn't the first time some young upstart or whatever has tried to, you know, get with the queen. Because, of course, she's sort of like the Daenerys Targaryen. Of his you know, Colonel Cupcake's empire is like in decline. He desperately needs these resources, and hers is thriving, although that might be a little bit of a veneer. It might just be an appearance of that.
It could be a little North Korea where it's like, well, it looks like it's going well to the people who come to visit, but underneath it's not great.
Right. It's not that great, and they both need these resources more than they want to let on, which is why, but it's important for the stability of her nation that she, you know, pretend that she does not.
Well, and the universe as a whole, because it's like they don't want to. There's like that whole galactic federation of gumdrops or whatever.
Oh, my God. Like, and they're both like, lobbying them for support in like the upcoming war in the third act. It's so complicated.
I liked those guys because they were little gumdrops and they sort of sounded like Dee Dee, which I liked.
They were like these little gumdrops who are almost like a Jedi council. And they always remind me of that big council thing, the Galactic Senate, you know, it's like, we do not declare that you will have the rank of
sort master.
Sort
of like a weird gumdrop hive mind that sort of controls everything.
Yeah, right, right. They're sort of like connected by these like, oh my God.
You I will leave the Zaraxians alone.
You know how they had those like big... like translucent plastic things above their heads that seem to be both like crowns and somehow like connecting their hive mind. Those are candy scoops. I'm just really like the ones you would give the supermarket to scoop into the like the variety
they
bag of candy.
Got everything.
They put everything in this movie. This is like a $3 billion like violent sex orgy of money being thrown at the screen for no specific audience.
It's and like, it's also very pro-fascist, I believe.
Yeah, the message at the end of the movie seems to be if they had just let, no matter what happens, fascism wins.
Yeah, exactly. Eventually, fascism is going to win and defeat any sort of social. That's the message I got. It's like, if you band together for the greater good, it's not going to work out.
Oh, my God.
That's kind of a depressing message for a kid's movie.
Yeah, right. And it seems to be trying to save it open for a sequel, sort of like Dune or whatever. But like, it's unclear who would make the same mistake of this movie twice. And I want to say, I didn't hate this movie. I thought it had a lot of interesting things in it.
You liked it because of the Hershey Kiss tits, I think, probably.
I mean, they could have been regular tits and I still would have liked
it. Here's my question to you. Would you have liked it more or less?
If
they were if they were regular.
Oh. Do you want the 5 minutes this is going to take?
All right, let's just go. Let's just go. We don't have the time.
Okay.
We don't have the time.
I'm going to have to break this down by the boob chart that I often use.
Okay. No, I don't want to see the chart.
So we have three categories.
I've seen the chart.
Top.
I've
flavor,
seen the chart.
Flavor, roundness, punctuality.
Punctuality? This chart gets more convoluted every time you pull it down.
Okay. Oh, shit.
Like a world map
at
a school.
Let me bring out the boob food pyramid.
Oh,
okay.
Jesus.
So this is the melons. So basically, yeah. So we've been jumping around a lot, but a lot of this has to do with the fact that the Sugar Plum Fairy has been trying so hard not to be vulnerable because she's had to keep this appearance up for so long.
Right.
She's
never actually felt like love, essentially.
Yeah, or if she has, it's been so long that she can barely remember. And I think because both of their kingdoms are struggling more than they can let on, they find some sort of kinship there. And they do. It seems like they actually do connect on some level before. And it's actually kind of interesting because they're both sort of like, they're both sort of like heavy wears the head that wears the crown, or heavy hangs the head. Like, one will understand how hard it really is to make the hard decisions for your people.
Yeah.
And that sort of becomes the crux of what their romance is about and what tears them apart, because I think Colonel Cupcake realizes that in order for his, you know, violent fascistic race to survive, he has to destroy the planet and this alliance. He has to betray her.
It's sad, but what are you going to do?
And because he betrays her, she becomes more, loses a part, the last like remaining shreds of her innocence or ability to trust, and decides to band together with these like Kale rebels to fight him back,
which essentially is very much is the Rebel Alliance almost,
right? Except the Rebel Alliance wins in Star Wars ostensibly, right?
The Rebels lost in it's like the end of Rogue One where all the characters die and you're like, oh,
right, but
all
there's
dead.
No like secret plans. The only thing that happens is that like the Kale Crusaders or whatever, they are like basically obliterated.
Right.
And
they're getting. Well, he's hunting like his brother and his brother, who is like is doing his job and not going against him anymore, like basically hunts them down one by one.
Right. Yeah. His brother, who seems like a good guy, is actually a double agent who allows them to get this detonation plan off. He seemed like the white knight who's going to save everything, but he's actually another member of this fascistic thing. And the thing that implies that Colonel Cupcake has like changed by the end of it, like they both have sort of changed insofar as he softened a bit because he can't bring himself to kill her.
Right.
He can't. They have this overpowering force that allows the Cupcake army to burst through their defenses, the Sugar Plum defenses. And in the moment where, you know, all the tales of how vicious Colonel Cupcake and fascistic he is, he would have, like, done something brutal to her, like they have to all these, like, candy people who they've gutted on the way there. But instead, he's like, we will take her prisoner as a sign to the Galactic, you know, Senate, whatever the candy Senate
is. Galactic Federation of Gumdrops.
Galactic Federation of Gumdrops. That, you know, we too know some diplomacy. And even she's like, you should just kill me now, because she can never trust him. But he actually does love her on some level and can't bring
himself. He does, but then he makes her kill the leader of the Zoraxians. It's like, and that was like with the candy cane that earlier, he gave to her as like a love token almost.
Right. He forces her to do that because he wants her to show to her people that they are one unified force now. And that, because he believes.
I know, but I'm saying that sort of undercuts his love. Like, it's like.
No, yeah, because. Like, well, that's the thing, is that, like, I would say he's 80% fascist and, like, 20% still in love with her. And he can't. But whereas before, when he landed, he was like 99.9 fascist and like 0.5%.
Does he love fascism more than he loves her? Yes.
I think he's just like a bad, brutal guy, more so than he could ever be in love. But her natural, what makes her good and what makes her people love her, did reach him on some level. It's that's just fair. He's never going to be great. He's just like a villain who is like, see, but because I love you and I always win, you have to see that I'm great too. And I did this for us.
It's sort of a very insane narcissistic thing, the way to think.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. He's crazy.
I'm saying, I don't think he can feel love. I think your theory of 99% and 20 or 8%, 20% is wrong.
Well, you might be right. Maybe he can only love himself or the way he feels when he's with her. I think he loves being loved by something as good as her because he knows
that's probably more fair. Yeah. He loves like, being loved.
I don't think it's a true love between them. I think it was like an infatuation that like she thought she saw something in him, and maybe he was just good at portraying that role. But I think
there's still some good in him, and there's not. He's Darth Vader. He's all evil.
Right. I don't think it was true love by any means, and I think that's why she hates herself and can never forgive herself or him, is because she opened herself up, and she thought he did too, but it was mostly a ploy. And now,
literally and figuratively, like that one scene with the with the cookie cutter. That was so gross.
Oh my God. Yeah. They're into some sort of like sexual cookie cutting play. It's just, it's so
weird.
It's
weird.
Baked me in the oven. It was so weird. It was so weird. I mean, yeah. Okay. I don't really want to think about that. Like I said, the sex is kind of gross and weird. But like the final battle is extremely explosive and intense. Yeah. And you see a lot of candy. It's like, it's somehow disgusting and delicious. And it like made me want concessions, even though we were beaming it into our brains.
It was it's like, cause like the guts were Twizzlers, like you said, and Red Vines and Skittles are blowing up everywhere. I mean, it looked delicious, but again, what's happening is terrible to the poor Zoraxians.
It seems like the way they ended it, they want the next movie, if there ever was one, to be a revenge epic. Where Sugar Plum Fairy sort of goes Kill Bill on him and all of his...
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
But I don't know if that movie's ever going to happen based on whatever...
Well, based on Avatar, there's going to be four of them, so...
If this is the Avatar of the other dimension, then yeah, there's going to be like 43 of these and we're just scratching the surface.
Yeah.
But
it didn't, like you said, there is like the revenge element, but otherwise it did not end on it. Fascism wins is unfortunately the message, I believe.
Right. But do you think that's what the filmmakers wanted us to be?
I don't know what the filmmakers wanted.
Or is that like the cliffhanger to be like Empire Strikes Back? Like, or does it
come
back next time?
Because of all the subversive stuff that happens, it's like, I don't know what the filmmakers were like. I don't know if they lost their minds halfway through. I don't know if they were high on death sticks. I don't know what happened. Because,
based on this movie, do you think that the filmmakers thought they were being subversive? Or in their fucked up brain, is this normal to them? Is this no different from Star Wars in their brain?
That's a good question. Because it's like... It's like Star Wars if the Empire won, but then nobody would want to see that movie. So it's like, what's the message then if the bad guys win? I don't know.
I'm thinking know. Like if they're like, okay, we have got this great epic story that takes place in this candy universe, and let's make sure there's a lot of hardcore sex in it, and let's make sure we can see the guts. Like if you just remove those elements, I mean, there are songs. There's lots of like Whistle While You Works type Kale Crusaders songs. Like,
if you remove the graphic sex and the terrible violence, then it is a kid's movie.
There's
but it's
at
also
least
like
a PG-13 cut of this movie in there somewhere.
I don't know. Because in my mind, the revenge thing like could happen, but it's more like I feel like he's so powerful by the end of this movie that it seems I don't know. I don't know what the message is. I think it's don't fight against the man is what it is. But again, I don't know if that's like their message is that this is bad or this is good. I couldn't tell if they were pro-fascist or not. That's what was weird to me.
Well, the movie did say during the credits, sponsored by Nestle. And then
they're probably very pro-fascist.
Yeah, it said extremely pro-fascist. And it said, never trust third world mothers. That was like with the last screen.
Well, well yeah, I don't even remember that part. Yeah, that's then it's totally pro-fetch. Nestle's an evil-ass company. Yeah. There you go.
So what did you think about this movie? How many gumdrops would you rate it out of, like, a full Sugar Plum Valley?
I don't know. There was too much weird stuff. Out of a full valley, I would say it's like maybe like I'm a little down the hill of the valley. So like three out of six gumdrops, I would say.
Okay. I would say it was a 69 out of 420 gumdrops for me.
I don't know what the ratio for that is.
I don't know. I'm going to take that Hershey's Kiss thing to the bank, if you know what I mean. Yeah,
I do, and I wish I didn't.
Call Ribblety, because I might need his services.
He's visiting that person on Twitter right now.
Oh, no! He's still not back yet? Oh, no, I sent Ribblety. Someone said that the Jason episode was their favorite. I sent Ribblety to his house, but oh, I haven't. Geez. I did hear that thing about some sort of sexy homicide. Oh, no!
Oh, no! Oh boy.
I guess that's it for this week. We want to thank Totally Rad Christmas for sending us in this crazy suggestion, and thank you all for listening. If you've got an idea for a made-up movie of your own, go to Twitter at @MadeUpMoviesPod. Send us the name of it and what it's about in a one-sentence summary. That's at @MadeUpMoviesPod on Twitter. You can also send it to madeupmoviespod@gmail.com. And that's it for us. I think it's time we call the Death Sticks guy and get ourselves a little reward, a little candy for our noses, if you know what I mean.
Plus, we could finish your piss musical if we were on Death Sticks.
Oh, shit. Yeah. I forgot about that whole thing. God, I was so fucking high. What a stupid idea.
Let's get some Death Sticks. It's a good idea. You just need more Death Sticks.
I said that to Todd Phillips? Oh, yeah. Fuck. What was I thinking? Oh my god, my joking career is over.
Or is it, Joker? I'm back, and I'm gonna beat yourself with butts holes.
Are those words? I think the brain damage is coming back.
Brain damage.
I'm gonna piss on you.
I'm gonna piss.